Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheers, bruv. Today we are all British. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3. I was literally in my car driving here this morning and just doing a British accent the entire drive out loud by myself as I was listening to What's a Story, Morning Glory. Oasis is back together. It's the best day of my life. And that I have two kids, so just remember that. Good morning.
So I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and you kind of gave us the rundown on what happened between the brothers.
Yeah.
When they're back together, is this I know right now it's just a European tour, probably going to expand,
yes,
be a worldwide tour. Are they back together just doing one last tour?
Probably one last tour.
Are they going to make another album, more music?
I really don't know. I think the future is wide open. Let's get through one show. Let's get through one show, and then we can start talking about any. Let's just start talking about the second show. That's how dire it's been, but it is official. The picture came out this morning, and I am very elated. I'm Woodsy, big Oasis fan, if you didn't tell. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Benjamin, do you remember? We might have done this before. Do you either of you guys remember? Paul, you grew up with the internet, so I don't know if you really count. Do you remember the first thing you ever looked up on the internet? When somebody said, hey, there's an internet. And well, what is it? Well, you can find answers and information. All you have to do is go to this bar, like this search bar, type something in. Because I do know. My very first thing I looked up.
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. My dad was the world's biggest Ask Jeeves fan.
Of course he was.
I'm sure Ben's like, wait, a butler actually answers your questions? Well, I'm used to this. Let me punch something in. What was Tony Gwynn's?
Well, first you had to dial up the modem.
Dial up
with
the modem.
The sound.
Yep.
And,
Jeeves.
You know, finally connects, and then it takes forever for like one page to load, and you're just sitting there.
15 minutes.
Twiddling your thumbs, waiting for that page to load. And
Jeeves,
then finally,
hurry! Do you remember?
I don't remember the first thing I ever searched.
I know. You know what it was? It was chords. Guitar chords for Talk Tonight by Oasis. That was the first thing. I went to the Notre Dame. This is how old we are. Went to the Notre Dame Library. Had heard about this thing called the internet. I don't have an ear for guitar. Back then, when you wanted to learn a song on guitar, you had to sit down and listen to it and see if you could play it. I never could do that. I've picked up maybe 3 songs by ear my whole life. All right, turn that off. It's making me insane. So, or you had to go to a music store, not like a Sam Goody, like a music store. They sold guitars and trumpets. Go to the rack and be like, okay, there's Bachman Turner Overdrive's entire catalog. And that you buy like the Oasis chord book for What's the Story, Morning Glory. Take it home, try to learn it. But it had all the music and it had the chords in there as well. So I found out about this thing called the internet. I went in. I punched in Talk Tonight guitar chords. It popped up, printed out. I took it home. I started playing the song. I learned it in 30 minutes. And that's the first thing I ever looked up on the internet. So I was back there the next day learning every song I could learn by that band. So I'm very excited this morning. I tweeted. Did I say they're playing in their hometown of Manchester on my 50th birthday.
Exactly, your 50th birthday next
July
year.
July 19th.
Their fifth show after the reunion, if they make it to 5.
If like they make it
said,
to 5.
One show at a time, kind of like us, kind of like the Padres, one game at a time.
Yep, one at a time.
Get through today. We'll
go 1-0 today.
We'll go 1-0 today.
Oasis, go 1-0.
Noel and Liam.
Yes.
Go Liam
and Noel just kissing
kissing the roach before a game.
So what's the, what's the process necessary to attempt to acquire tickets to said show?
So it looks like this Saturday at 1 a.m., I have to get up and log into ticketmaster.co.
So like 9 a.m. England time.
Yeah.
But 1 a.m. here.
Ticketmaster.co/UK.
Oh, boy.
I have to log into that. I have to get in the queue.
The notoriously reliable Ticketmaster.
Never any issues with Ticketmaster.
Never. They're so well equipped to handle huge shows like this.
You need to find some Oasis message boards, fan groups. Just befriend somebody that's over there.
Polly, you think my wife, by the way,
get you those tickets.
She's so tired of me.
If you have like a Chase card or a Capital One card, you can't get free access, American Express, something like that.
So let me tell you what I did yesterday. This is no joke. So I went home. I got on some like message board type things. I went to their website to see if there's some sort of fan club I need to join. Right? Join the fan club. You'll get exclusive pre-sale. My neighbor, Kieran, is from Ireland. I was shooting hoops with Bo. He was driving by, and I jumped in front of his car. Hey, stop! I ran around the side. He was picking up his daughter. He's the best guy. I'm like, did you hear the news? He's like, no. And I said, Oasis, get back together. He's like, no way. I can't do an Irish accent. You're a much better Irish accent than me. I wish you were actually there for the combo so you could do it. But he's like, he goes, it's the first, I saw them open for REM 30 years ago. It was my first concert. I was a teenager. He goes, this is unbelievable. He goes, I go, if you have any of your British or UK friends that can get tickets, I'll pay them, I'll pay you, I'll pay for the ticket, whatever. I just need a pair. And he's like, there may be one guy. And I'm like, all right, so just keep me in the loop. Keep me abreast. I've been reaching out. Our buddy Travis Devlin says he knows a guy. I'm like,
how are there guys to know already at this point? This just came out today. Yet there's already guys to know to get tickets.
So Travis's cousin, this is where it gets dirty. Travis's wife's cousin works at Wembley, but I don't want to go to the Wembley show. I want to go to the Manchester show. I would take anything, obviously, but
just have Welsh Fryer do it.
Yeah, Welsh, no, I need you online. Here's my credit card.
Don't you think there's
I do it in a heartbeat.
Roughly 500,000 people whose wife's cousin works at Wembley at this point. I mean, they can't get tickets for everyone.
I know. That's what I thought. I was like, bro, we'll just anyway, keep me in the loop. So if any of the tier ones out there know someone, anything, just any lead, I will follow it like a private dick. Okay, I will be following it around. It's a short for detective. You never heard that before, Private Dick, right?
Yeah.
Sam Spade. Yeah, Private Dick. So I will be definitely on the hunt for that. But I just thought, man, on my 50th, that says to me that needs
fate
to happen.
Karma.
It's fate, karma, all of that. So that's what I spent my day doing yesterday, and that's what. Just reading and watching everything I could possibly watch. I am literally I feel like a school kid.
Do we need to ask the Padres? We know the Padres. Maybe they can have a show at Petco Park just for you.
I thought about it, but I did see something leaked. And again, you never know what's real or not, but they had a couple shows booked at Soldier Field, and they had a couple shows booked at the Rose Bowl. But that was earlier. That was that was an earlier date. So if you're Oasis and you're a British legendary band, do you dare say, here's our British dates, and they start in July. We're going to play America in April and May? I don't think so.
There's a lot of time between now and July.
Yeah, though. Of course. There is. There's a
it's
lot
not
of time.
Like they need to learn all their songs between now and then. They already know the songs. Can't take that much rehearsal time to get ready for a tour.
For
so
sure.
What's all the extra time for?
I booking stuff, and I just, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it's,
now, would you rather see them closer to home, like LA.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Or in their hometown on your 50th.
In their hometown on my 50th, but I will also go to both shows at the Rose Bowl. But
why not both?
I can take both because I'm not going to trek him across the pond. As much as he wants to go, I don't think I got it in me. There's going to be 100,000 people out there, like me weaving through the crowd with him where a bunch of drunken Englishmen are out there. You know, I mean, it sounds fun for me, but so anyway, I'm very excited. It's a huge day, huge, huge day. But Eric, I was laughing at the chat. Eric said he was a guitar player too. And before the internet, he goes, you would have to turn the page while you were strumming to learn a new song. It's the worst experience.
Just download it onto your iPad.
Yeah, right.
What were you doing?
Super, super crazy to think that me and you, Ben, my freshman year of college, there was no internet. There really wasn't. And if there was, I'd never heard of it.
I was in college when I was first exposed to the internet.
It's crazy. Like, it said, when was it popular in the United States? Like, 93.
That's my senior year of high school. I had not heard of it until probably 96, 95.
And it was mostly just text that you could get to at the internet at that point.
That's exactly right. You couldn't.
No videos.
Yeah. Unfortunately for all of us, no videos.
No social media.
No social media. Man. But anyway, I digress for 11 minutes. I'm very excited.
Mudd had nothing to show people.
That's right.
On his phone.
What did Mudd was like, hey, read this passage from Tom Sawyer. You're going to like this here. He takes a book out and opens it up to show him to read the passage from it. Check this out. You're not gonna believe, look what Huck Finn said right here. Just showing him a book.
No wonder he spent so much time imitating umpires and broadcasters. He needed to fill the time, obviously, without the internet around.
Nothing else to do. All right, this guy says, this is great advice here. Get NordVPN for 1 month so you can switch your country to UK on Saturday. It can improve your chances to get tickets. Padres TJ, thank you for that advice. I wouldn't be able to do that if you put a gun to my head.
You could.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How do you do it? Just sign up for NordVPN?
Yeah, it's a virtual private network.
It is?
Yeah. I could send one of my children over.
Please do, actually.
They could probably do it for you pretty easily.
I think you could actually figure that out.
Tell Jack that if he wants to get up at 1 a.m. on Saturday and get me tickets, I'll take such good care of him.
These are 21 and 19-year-olds. They're still up at 1 a.m., and that would probably be much easier than getting up at 1 a.m.
I will take good care. Good care. So anyway, great night last night, certainly. We had a bit of a laugher, I would say, for most of the game, and we'll talk about the ins and outs and 1-0. Padres went 1-0 yesterday. Got off to an early start, which was really, really nice to see. Got Randy Vasquez a little run support. And the Rally Roach, what is our record? I just wrote it down. Since the Rally Roach, and for those of you listening for the first time, we were in here about a month ago, 29 games ago. And for some reason, we'd never seen one in here before, but there was a giant roach in here. Giant. Like, huge, huge roach. And we freaked out.
It was life size right here.
It was on the air. And
we actually stuffed him and put wheels on him.
Next thing you know, Padres go on this insane run. They are 21. The Rally Roach is 21-8, man. 21-8 is a staggering, staggering record.
And it's over 600 winning percentage.
Yes.
It's outstanding baseball.
That's outstanding baseball. Just the new Oasis song?
Yeah.
Tying legs on the radio floor, found a cockroach breaking the law. Luck's a fickle friend, they say. The Rally Roach here to stay.
My God.
San Diego, the baseball scene. Padres getting that lucky sheen.
The new Post Malone.
Ben and Wood Studio Muse. The Rally Roach breaking the blues.
I hate it so much. Tiny Hero, that's so good. 21-8 for that Rally Roach, man. I still don't have the stones to put it on a shirt, though. I'll tell you that right now. We get a shirt made and we sell that shirt, Padres are dropping 9 in a row.
I tend to agree.
I promise.
I tend to agree.
It's guaranteed.
Now, there was a bug that invaded the booth in St. Louis yesterday on television with Don and Mutt. If it had been a roach,
and
not whatever.
I would have
praying
gone,
mantis or whatever
gone,
it was.
Gone and put $10,000 on the Padres to win the World Series.
And we probably would have had to book those T-shirts as well. But I don't think it was a roach. Looks green, non-roach-like.
Yeah, very, really tiny. Don got very scared of that little bug that was in there last night. Now, I don't really get scared of little bugs. I get terrified of roaches, though. They'll fly.
Grasshopper, Elisa thinks. Grasshopper.
Is that what it was? Yeah. And roaches fly, crawl in your mouth, and lay eggs. Eat your face off. And doo-doo on you and stuff. Like, I just have no desire.
Rally Roach, I hate it so much.
Who's it sound like?
It through the darkest night. Tiny hero in the wings.
Yeah.
I think I typed in, like, a rock. You know, the prompt was, like, a rock song. But
Three Doors Down?
It's, like, a little country.
Yeah. Well, it's, like, It's posty. Like a little
he's
country.
Like rap country.
But no, he, yeah.
He's a, it's got a little auto tune in
Jelly
there.
Roll, maybe?
Jelly Roll.
Yes. There's like still, there's also like a little bit of Nickelback or Doors Down.
Three Doors Down. Butt Rock, a little Butt Rocky. Yeah. Jelly Roll. Always makes, that guy's insanely talented.
Yes.
But that, all right. That nickname always makes me laugh. Always. His name or whatever it is.
Talk about Jelly Roll for a second.
Yeah.
So there was a while back when we had the Daily Diddy way back when.
I miss those days.
I kind of do too. I remember I picked a category, and I don't remember what song or what band it was, but the category was bands you just assumed you hated.
Based on the name.
Jelly Roll is one of them.
You hear
I
the name Jelly Roll,
looked
you're
like,
yeah, you're like, I'm out.
I see the name, and I go, absolutely not.
Absolutely
and I,
not.
And I see he's in the same circles as Morgan Wallen, and I'm
yeah,
like, no,
I'm not doing
not
it.
For me. Listen to a couple songs.
It's pretty
like,
good, man.
This guy's got some pipes.
It's just the name.
This guy's a damn
it's,
good singer.
It's the name that gets you. It's like, all right, well, here's Biscuit. I'm on see, like, I'm not listening to a guy named Biscuit. I'm just not. I'm not having it. All right, Biscuits and Gravy here. And no, I'm out. I'm out. But he is really, he's a talented dude. All right, let's get into it. Benny will set the menu next. We'll talk some Padres baseball.
Yep, Kelly Danick's got some traffic, and then more Biscuit and Gravy in the mornings on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feel for you, Lisa. In the chat, she says, I'm too tired to make my coffee this morning.
That's
struggle
the worst.
Bus. That is the worst.
I got Hannah woke me up at 1:15, and I tossed and turned until it was time to get up. So here I am. It's not conducive to a very healthy lifestyle. It's just not.
It's an unusual wake-up time, to be sure.
She's an unusual bird, is what she is. But I love her so.
How's school going? Everybody fine so far?
Not really.
Not really?
No. No.
How much of the game did you get to watch?
You know, what I told you guys was going to happen.
Yesterday, yes. I was fascinated by this. Putting the game on in every room, so
yes.
No matter where your kids lead you throughout the house, you can sort of see it out of the corner of an eye somewhere.
Catch a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, you had to do. Now, luckily, last night, and we'll talk about the game next, but last night was a bit of a, we didn't feel a lot of stress, right? So I was able to say, all right, it's bath time. Let's hit it. No problem. And I dragged my phone in there and stuff. But, you know, you also want to be like a present father. It's this dichotomy. And I have said for many years, I don't know how the national guys do it where they seemingly have caught every single game the night before. And they're also and they make a lot of money, and there's a lot of pressure, but they're also seemingly good parents. I find it hard to be really good at this and still be a committed husband and father. It's very difficult. Just because you just don't have the time to lock in. Like, I miss so much stuff. I miss the crony potential interference. I missed it. I came back in, I heard them talking about it. But, you know, kids got to get fed and bath time. It's just really hard to juggle that. So
they missed it, too, live.
Yeah, that's what I heard they did.
So don't feel so bad. No one really saw it until after the fact. Big old collision out there. But, yeah, no, I mean, you know, life intrudes on our baseball watching, all of us.
Well,
I'm sure everyone has that experience.
And baseball is such a game for me. Like, I don't know about how it is for you guys, but I can put an NFL game on and have it on all day, or Red Zone or whatever, or a college football game. I don't feel the need to watch it as intently. Basketball, great example. If there's the biggest game in the world, I'm like, how are we looking with a minute and a half left? Great. I feel like I've caught everything I need to catch. Baseball, so many little things happen that maybe you've never seen. Maybe your favorite player makes a good play.
Certainly. Also, there's no football or basketball game, even the Super Bowl, that you're going to talk about for 4 hours. Like, you're going to talk about a Padres baseball game.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
We need lots of detail.
You need the detail.
To carry the conversation.
The devil is in the details.
And we will start that conversation coming up in our next segment with our Padres wrap-up. I'll tell you, what I thought was absolutely the most critical key element of last night's game, not just for the win, but for this entire road trip, maybe, and stretch of 18 games in 18 days, something big from last night's game that was really, really good to see, Padres fans. So we'll talk about that coming up in our Padres wrap-up in our next segment. 7-10, take on Woods, chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. No winners yet this week. You can go head-to-head against Woods in our musical trivia challenge. I won't make it Oasis because that seems like Woodsy would be dialed in on that category. So
yeah, you could do 20 and I'd probably get 18 out of 20.
Not going to do that today. Don't do this at 7:20. Second half of the show, looking forward to welcoming Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres, back on a Tuesday. He will join us from muggy and hot St. Louis, where Woods told me even the corn was sweating last night.
So listen, I like to needle people, as you guys know. Tweeted last night. Now, and I, you know what? There's some really good Cardinal fans out there. Like, there's in every fan base, and there's some you know, not. So I said, wow, looks like baseball's best fans took the night off.
I saw it instantly. First foul ball of the game.
What in the world?
Oh, my God. There's nobody at Busch Stadium. There's nobody there.
It was shocking. And again, like, every time we see, and there were a lot of Padres fans there. They would pan to the crowd and they'd show a lot of Padres fan there. But so this gal quote tweeted me last night and sent it back, and she goes, she said, dude, our corn is emitting buckets full of sweat into our atmosphere, creating excessive heat warnings in the Midwest today. Temps in the high 90s, feels over 100. We deserve to watch the game in air conditioning. I wrote, fair. Fair enough.
I didn't know that the corn could sweat and make it even hotter in the Midwest. That's a thing.
I didn't really realize. It's obviously corn around that area is a huge, huge crop.
I just Googled it. Yeah. Corn sweat makes heat wave even worse.
Corn sweat. Y'all got to go get the corn sweating. It's time to go get it off the stalk. I've had meat sweats before, but I've never had the corn sweats. It's phenomenal. So
do they have like a corn antiperspirant or something that they can use?
Yeah, but you can't use aluminum. So yeah. It gives you Alzheimer's.
The heat index is calculated using dew points and temperature, so anything that adds extra moisture into the air can impact them. That's where
like
corn sweat comes in.
Have you guys ever heard, did we ever play the song Corn Star?
Corn Star.
Have you guys ever, we never played it on this show?
I don't think so.
You guys will hear it today. It's a real country song. It's called Corn Star, and we'll play it for you. I'd say after the wrap-up, but maybe at 8 o'clock, come back with a little Corn Star. All right, remember, Corn Star, 8 a.m. You guys are going to die.
After Jesse, Paulie's got a Rondle Report for us in our 9 o'clock hour. And don't forget, we are giving away Kansas tickets at Humphreys in September. You are listening for the Sounder. It's that minor league announcer. Remember him?
This is going to be Carry On My Wayward Son. They'll be truthing you are gone.
That's the Sounder, not now, but the next time you hear that, Paulie plays it, call 833-288-0973. You'll have a chance to win tickets to see Kansas at Humphreys
not
by
right
the Bay.
Now. Do not call.
Not now, September 22nd. That's not when you call. That's when the concert is. You call when Paulie plays that again. You chance to win tickets to see Kansas at Humphreys, and that'll take us up to 10 o'clock in an Annie and Elston program here on a Tuesday. So there's your menu. Let's come back with our Padres wrap-up, get all the highlights from Jesse and last night's 7-4 win over the St. Louis Cardinals and the start of a 7-game road trip. Coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Well, it was the homecoming of sorts for Mike Schilt last night in St. Louis.
That had to be tough. It's got to be tough.
Well, I'm sure it was a lot easier after winning.
Oh, yeah.
The game yesterday.
But I mean, just the whole thing of like leading up to it, you land, you walk in that stadium, Benny, for the first time. And it's in the visiting clubhouse. I mean, it's just got
to. Used to going right.
Yeah, you go left, and a lot of the same people that were there when he was there. Hey, Mike, how you doing? I mean, he probably pressed more flesh yesterday than he has all season long, and saying hi to people. And
he downplayed it, but it was.
He did.
It's definitely it was a big moment for him.
Well, you're human. I mean, you're a human being. If it didn't affect you in some way, then you may be a robot. I mean, it's just really, really. Especially with how things ended there in St. Louis for him. It's got to be. But it's got to feel really good walking in there with a really good ball club that you've done a good job managing, that has really had an incredible second half. And you walk in there, if you walk in there 500, you know, and you're scuffling too, people are like, oh, whatever. I saw Cardinals fans last night in the final score thread, like, eh. They were doing our record against their record and Schilt against Marmol and blah, blah, blah. And we let this guy go and this is BS. We would have won that game with Schilt. I mean, it's pretty nuts to see.
For certain, when you have the record on your side, it's going to make things a little bit easier.
100%.
And Mike Schilt has always had the record on his side ever since he's become a manager. Four seasons of full managing, three in the Cardinals, now one of the Padres. And it looks like it'll be four trips to the playoffs for Mike Schilt, hopefully at the end of this season.
Yeah.
We'll talk about yesterday's game, series opener, first of four in St. Louis. Our Padres wrap-up coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Is the 1-1, man. He swings, hits it in the air. Straight away, center and deep. Scott is back at the wall. This one gonna go onto the grass embankment in center field. Machado a two-run homer, and the Padres a 2-0 lead. 2-2 pitch, and up the middle, and into center field of base hit. Donovan will trot home, an RBI single for Paul Goldschmidt, his 50th RBI of the season, and the Cardinals are on the board. It's 2-1. 3-1 to Jackson Merrill. Gibson delivers. Jackson swings, lines it into left field in a base hit. Profar has scored. Machado's being waved. Burleson comes up throwing. The tag is not in time. Two-run single, Jackson Merrill. And a 4-1 Padre lead. Nothing and one from Vasquez. The pitch to Carpenter, sent in the air, straightaway center. Playable for Merrill. Should be deep enough to get the run home. Makes the catch. Herrera tags. Throw comes in behind second base. Sacrifice fly, Matt Carpenter. And now 4-2 game here in the fourth. 2-2 to Manny, hit hard and beyond the dive of Arenado down the left field side. Ricochets off the sidewall. Burleson's got to go and get it. The run is scored. Cronenworth into third base. It's an RBI double for Manny Machado and a 5-2 Padre lead. 2-2 to Xander. Here's the pitch from Gibson. Swung on, hit in the air to left center field. Long run, Victor Scott into the gap. Gets there to make the catch. Cronenworth will tag and score. Behind him, Machado goes to third base. Sacrifice fly for Xander Bogaerts, and the Padre lead is 6-2. Now battle mode here against Liberatore. 2-2, reach four, poked into right center field. That'll drop down, and another base hit. Machado scores easily. Merrill an RBI single. He's driven in three, and the Padre lead is 7-2.
Pure happiness.
Suarez ready. Here's the pitch. Burleson swings, kind of pokes it in the air. That'll drop down shallow center field and a base hit. Merrill charges it. He's got no throw home, and Wynn will come in to score. 7-4. San Diego in the bottom of the ninth. 2-2. Suarez deals. Arenado swings. It's a sharp ground ball to short. Backhanded by McCoy. The long throw is in time, and the ball game is over. Redbirds get one in the bottom of the ninth, but Mike Schilt and his Padres come to St. Louis and beat the Cardinals 7-4 in game one of this four-game series.
Being able to add-on runs are huge. So, you know, once we're able to open it up, you know, Jackson, the big two-out knock for two RBIs, another great at bat, you know, against the lefty for another one-out RBI. And you know, once we open it up, go get him and he went in attack mode.
Add-on runs are huge, says Mike Schilt, and he is right. But what do you need before you can add on runs?
Runs.
You need runs.
Yep.
Early runs. And the Padres got some early offense. It's such a difference maker for this team in particular when they can score like they did in the first inning. Manny turning that Jake Cronenworth hit by pitch into a quick 2-0 lead against Kyle Gibson. And you know you'd need some offense with Randy Vasquez on the mound. And he gave up a couple, but I thought I thought the key to the, you know, kind of maybe even this whole series and the rest of the road trip, when the Padres added on that extra offense in the top of the fifth inning, I thought that Randy Vasquez was probably done.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It was he got through four, scuffled a little in the fourth, looked like he was teetering on the edge. He was closing in on 80 pitches, and I thought, yeah, I think I'm good. Let's see Maury Home. Let's see Reynolds. Let's see Matsui. You know, use that back of the bullpen. They can be good sometimes, and we'll see if we can get this to another win. But when the Padres added on, Mike Schilt sent Randy Vasquez back out for not just the fifth, but he was so efficient, the sixth as well. I think the sixth inning needed just five pitches to get through. And that is bullets saved for a taxed Padres bullpen. That was big in that game. Obviously, they still went to Tanner Scott and Robert Suarez in the last couple of innings, and heard Matt Scravey on the postgame show saying, don't know if they should be doing that. Well, that's what Mike Schilt does. If it's within four, pretty much he's going to be aggressive and use his bullpen like it's a save situation, even though technically it's not. Just assume that four runs is Mike Schilt's cutoff.
Yeah.
At this point, he wants to make sure he wins games. He's got a reason for it. I heard Matt saying, I wonder if he's going to say anything about it. I think he's pretty much explained it.
Yeah,
that when the Padres are up four, even in the ninth inning like yesterday, if he brings in someone else, they have to face three batters. And if they don't get the job done, now I have to bring in Suarez, and I'm putting him in a really tough situation, maybe even facing the tying run at that point. I don't want to put any pitcher in a situation where, if I can help it, they don't have a bit of a safety net, a little cushion, like, hey, you walk the first guy, you give up a bloop single, it's not the end of the world. You go out there, get the job done, get your feel, go out there. So if it's a four-run lead, and, you know, he's got guys available, he's going to his high-leverage guys. He's been very clear about that this season.
I have less than zero problem with it. It's a trust thing. And again, if there wasn't a three-batter minimum, Sean Reynolds, Yuki Matsui, fine, no problem. Oh, man, Yuki comes in and walks the first guy, or Sean Reynolds comes in and can't find the plate, you're done. All right, now I got to go to Suarez anyway. He was already up getting hot. But, you know, because again, if one guy gets on, Benny, save situation, right? Right then. So it's one of those things where why mess around? If Robert says, I'm good to go, I'm good to go. They've done a good job at managing all of these guys' workloads. I don't feel like ass is overtaxed right now. Do you guys? I certainly don't look at their usage and say, we're going to fry these guys. It may very well happen, but I don't think it's happened yet. So I have no problem with the way they manage the bullpen.
Yeah, if it comes down to a one-run game in the last couple of innings today, you'll go, well, it's too bad we don't probably have Scott and Suarez necessarily. But you'll have Adam. You still have Estrada.
Yep.
You've got some good pitchers you can throw back there. And maybe you're up by eight, or maybe you're down by five today. You don't
100%.
You can't manage tomorrow's game today.
It's just a trust. You can plan for tomorrow's game today.
Yeah, sure.
But you can't manage it, and because you just don't know what's going to happen.
But
you don't know if your starter's getting knocked out in the first or their starter is. It's a trust thing as much as it is, I'm going to go for the jugular and get this win in the first game of this series. I'm going to go for the jugular. I'm going to get the win. I have no problem with an aggressive manager.
I think sometimes fans feel like, oh, well, you know, worst case scenario, now they can't hold on to a close lead, and they end up splitting the two games. Now, the worst case scenario is you don't go to your high leverage guys, somehow lose the game today, and then find out the next day, we didn't need them anyway.
Correct.
We could have pitched those guys yesterday because we were way up or way down, or our starter went eight, and we didn't need the back end of the bullpen. I can't go back in time and put them back into the game yesterday, so I'm just going to use them now when I know they can help me close
win
out
a
win.
I just want to get a win.
Yeah.
It's at every level. Little league, high school, college, adult ball, pro ball. The guys you can trust are the guys you go to when you need to win a game. Obviously, you can't use those guys every single day. He knows that, and he's done a good job at managing it so far. So I think last night was well managed. I think it was well played, well executed on both sides of the ball. Guys stepped up. Jackson Merrill's AB off Libertor was incredible. The lefty-lefty.
Both of his run-scoring at-bats were terrific. The one off Gibson, the two-run, bases loaded after Xander couldn't get the job done.
Hit that little dribbler.
Little dribbler force at the plate. puts Jackson up in a bases loaded two out situation. Pretty important part of the game.
Yeah.
Where you're looking for a little add on at that point. And he comes through again. And pretty much we were all sure he was going to. Honestly, right? I mean, you felt extremely confident.
Yeah, you absolutely do.
In Jackson Merrill, in a situation like that.
Anytime you get that kid up at the plate with a chance to drive in runs and do damage, I mean, especially lately, he's one of the most trusted bats you have on your team. But
what I thought was impressive, you know, Gibson got him in that first at bat.
Yeah.
Got him down, back foot slider, I think, breaking ball. And like, okay, you know, the rookie then comes back and makes an adjustment against the pitcher. I mean, he had seen him early in the season, so Gibson made his adjustment because he homered off Gibson in April. Then Jackson adjusted back in that next at-bat. Just fantastic. Veteran stuff.
Tim Flannery said he's never seen a rookie adjust on the fly as much as as consistent as Jackson Merrill has done it this year. And Tim Flannery has seen a lot of baseball. A lot of baseball, a lot of rookies, a lot of great rookies, a lot of great hitters, played with a lot of great hitters. He said his ability to adjust on the fly so consistently makes him an absolute must tune in for me. And that's Tim's quote.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Hi, Jackson.
And then the at bat against Liberatore that you mentioned, you know, just to make it from 6-2 to 7-2 there. But that was such a fantastic at bat. It happened to be right at about 6:19, which is when I typically have to walk into the studio for my 6:21 sports segment on Channel 10. And I kept every at bat, like fouled off a pitch. I'm like going, I want to see how this at bat ends. And I'm like, I've got ready to go. I've got my earpiece in. I'm ready to kind of jump in there, but I don't want to miss the end of that bat. Mm-hmm. I started walking like, okay, fouled off another one. It's like, I start walking, then I realize, no, I've got like 10 more seconds. So I run back to the television and I see the ball fall into right center field. I'm like, I can go. Okay. I can go safely, do my TV job, knowing that I got to see the end of that Jackson Merrill at bat.
Yeah, beautifully done. And Manny hitting home runs after one of his guys gets plunked is a fun thing. And AC had another stat. We've told you, when Manny Machado drives in two or more runs, the Padres are 21-0. It's the old Emmett Smith. Every time he carries the ball more than 25 times, they win 100% of the games.
Why didn't they just give him the ball for the first 25 plays?
Manny just hit a two-run homer in the first. It's a guaranteed dub. You guys can cruise in. I thought he played brilliantly defensively as well. Brilliant. Just a really, really solid game all around.
Loved that he got one past Arenado, too.
Incredible.
Just out of his reach.
And he robbed Arenado, too, on that little dribbler.
Manny was quoted to AC in his newsletter today. He says, I just feel better, said Machado, who also doubled on a sweeper down and away. My body is able to do things I couldn't do months ago.
Yeah.
When your body is able to do some things, you can bounce back from things quicker.
Yeah. I mean, he's had a nice, you know, he's hitting the ball hard.
What really good extension on that home run. That was the outside corner pitch. Yep. Just got his arms extended and drives it out to center. Most guys, that's a fly out. But with Manny Machado, he's got the power to be able to drive that out to center field.
Past nine games, 5-11, two home runs, double on fastballs. So he's on the heater right now. But yeah, man, it's good to see when the one of the leaders of the team steps up and spots you to 2-0. And you can't say enough good things about Randy Vasquez. And again, he's not a real comfortable watch. Somebody said it's like playing Russian roulette. Yeah, I mean, he misses his spots a lot, and he missed one to Goldschmidt that Mudd was like, gotta get higher than that there, because Goldie had his only good swing of the night, and he comes back to strike him out, made an adjustment there. But yeah, man, it's really fun to watch. And I saw people last night mad at Bryce Johnson for getting thrown out at the plate. I'm like, you guys know, you've heard of the contact play, right? When there's contact, you run. That's not a Bryce Johnson decision. That is a Mike Schilt, Tim Leeper decision.
Right.
And they hit the ball, you run. Out. Yeah, you got to make them make the right play. Come on, guys. Let's be
Padres catch up a half game on the Diamondbacks and Dodgers, who were not active yesterday.
Yep.
Because otherwise they probably would have won. But four games back in the division. Talk about it more coming up next year. Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.